Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Where's the Punch podcast. I am your host, Jamie Maxfield. Thanks for taking some time to join us in the never-ending path of joke writing. I've got with me Mr. Ben Fuller. Ben, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing good. Thanks, Jamie.
Awesome. We're recording this, by the way, at All Star Lanes, getting ready for the comedy show that we're doing here for Craig Billick is the headliner tonight.
Just and to be clear, All Star Lanes is a bowling alley with a bar.
With a bar. And that's...
in the corner of the bar is a stage.
And it works out perfect. It's actually an awesome room for comedy. Like, a lot of people go, what, you're doing comedy in a bowling alley? But it's actually a great venue. The sound's good. The room itself is a little smaller, compact. It's perfect for comedy.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they're putting some effort into it. I mean, was the district manager last month was saying that he's going to bring in some new lights.
Yep.
They're going to invest a little bit into the show. So that's awesome.
Yep, it always does pretty well this summer, the winter time. So just a recap for everybody. This might be your first time listening to the podcast. Where's the Punch podcast is all about joke writing. We're all about talking with other fellow comedians about their joke writing process, and even do a little bit of roundtable with some maybe jokes that we all have that, you know, aren't working. Maybe just aren't, you know, we're not really feeling it. And for some reason, you know, we haven't been able to find that punchline. And so we kind of roundtable that with each other and hopefully come up with some, productive creativity at the table. So also have with me today our headliner that's going to be on the show tonight, Craig Billick.
Hello, everybody.
And Jeff Watson, who's one of the opening acts as well.
Hey there.
So, guys, why don't we start off with Craig. Tell us a little bit about your joke writing process. Kind of what, take us through, you know, a day in the life of a Craig Billick joke.
A day in the life of my jokes. Wow, I wish they lasted a whole day. not quite even that much. But writing is probably the biggest challenge there is for me. Because, as you guys know, you not only have to write it, but you have to perform it. And you got to perform it a dozen times to find out if it's really going to work. And you got to move the words around, and you got to do just about everything like that to make it work. I mean... And you won't know that it's going to work until you've tried it a dozen times or so.
And that's an interesting thing that you bring up, too, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, comedians will do they'll do a joke 100 times, just changing it, tweaking it just a little bit
until
they get a finished product. A lot of people think that comedians just get up there and wing it and are just... naturally hilarious, and the punchlines and the joke flows perfect, but a lot of people don't know all the craft that comes behind that and how many times you...
There's a ton. My personal process is I like to get together. I usually will be talking with friends and something will come out, and I'll hurry and grab a piece of paper or a napkin or my hand or something and write it down. I have a big file just full of all kinds of slips. And I've had jokes that didn't work 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, a situation, something in politics or something, or I figure out a way to tag it onto something else, and all of a sudden it's a winner.
Yep.
You know? And people are laughing, and I'm, you know, there's a little bit of resentment. You're kind of like, you know, where the hell were you guys 10 years ago?
This
was funny back then. What's wrong with
this
you
people?
This
was comedy gold back then.
What?
You're just now appreciating it.
You're just a man ahead of your time when it comes to this.
I wish that was the right. Unfortunately, though, sometimes I'll be going through my joke file and I'll find a piece of paper and it'll say, you know, bacon shoes, and I'll go, what was that? what was that? What was that idea?
It was funny enough to write it down, but
what was it?
It wasn't funny enough to actually write it out.
you kind of scribble it on down, but there's a couple I'm working on. I'm going to try them tonight.
Awesome.
That are just not catching fire.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm waiting for that point. And so that's why I'm looking to you three geniuses at this table to write my material for me. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. That's what we love doing. Jeff, how about you? Take us through your process. What do you do for joke writing?
Well, a lot of my jokes are pieces of the memoir that I've been writing in my head for the last 30 years or so. But when something pops into my head, I'll immediately put it into... I use a OneNote document.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that way I can use tag words and things like that and search and organize it. So everything goes in there. But for my material, I read a lot. I read the Trib. I'll read anything online. I'll read Wikipedia. I'll watch the news. I think you get your best ideas when you... When you change your surroundings, when you see something new, if all you do is just think, then nothing new is going to pop into your head. So you just need exposure, a broad exposure to ideas, to have things new come to you.
This just shows you the generational gap here. You know, I'm obviously older than Jeff. He's putting it in OneNote on his phone.
Yeah, using technology.
He's searching. He's got a joke library. I'm using a quill pen and ink on parchment. You know.
Well, I was potty trained at gunpoint, so I need to get all this written down and documented. And another thing that I did is I found a book called Comedy Writing Secrets by Melvin Helitzer. And what he does is he breaks down the element of a joke, and he talks about misdirection, and he talks about surprise and malapropisms and wordplay and all the different types of jokes. And in there he has lots of exercises. So it can be broken down to a formula and learned.
Malapropism. I did a lot of shows with him back in the day.
Yeah?
He was a great guy. I'm telling you, you're just a... Mallow.
He was killing it.
I don't know where he is.
With Clint Eastwood.
Oh, that's awesome. Ben, what do you do? I know you haven't really written a joke in how many years.
Kind of with Jeff, you know. I want to stay on top of what's current.
Yeah.
News. I want to be topical. I want to be edgy. I want to be... For instance, elections are going on. What about Donald Trump's hair, man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. I'm surprised there's not more jokes about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of anything funny about his hair. In fact, that offends me.
Yeah.
That offends me. I think, I mean, come on, you're making fun of a guy's hair. What'll comedians do next?
Yeah.
It's a rat's nest.
The funny thing is about that is that, no, I mean, Donald Trump's hair is always topical for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
It's always...
like it's never gone away.
Like it's never...
It's because it's never changed.
It's never gone away.
It's been a hack joke since the 70s.
Yeah. It's always, like, top of mind. Like, it's... you have to hand it to him for committing to that style and just not giving up on it.
I like that he said it was a rat's nest.
Yeah.
It's only a rat's nest if the rat could afford $4,000 a month rent. You know, I mean,
he's evicted them all out. He's evicted them out of there. It's like, you guys can't
afford
this.
You rats.
It probably reaches the bottom, the small of his back when he washes it and unrolls it.
It definitely does.
He probably looks like one of the Assembly of God ladies. when he pulls out the hairpin.
Yeah, it's quite an art. It's kind of a turban into itself, you know what I mean?
It almost looks like a towel. Like, you know, women wrap a towel around their head.
Yeah,
turbini.
To like dry their hair. It almost looks
and
like...
And he hates Muslims.
You know,
he's basically wearing the same headdress, just with hair.
Stylistically.
Maybe that's why he's like, I don't like those guys. They're trying to steal my style.
Yeah.
There's only one Donald Trump, and he's just going after it. So what do you got, Craig? What do you got? What are you working on?
Oh, you know, topically, this is kind of funny because a friend of mine was really upset about, I don't know if you guys know about this, but I guess the government's trying to ban green tip ammo. Do you guys know what that is? It's armor piercing bullets.
Green tip ammo.
Yeah, it's armor piercing. And he.
Like environmentally friendly. Yeah,
it sounds like it, doesn't it? It sounds like the biodegradable slug.
Yeah.
You know, it goes in your body, but in 10 years, it's a tree.
Yeah.
It's armor piercing bullets. And he's just pissed about this, you know? And I can't see it his way. Which is amazing because, 2 weeks ago I was mugged by a guy in a tank. I mean, I know. I should have heard him coming, right? You know, but there it is. I'm in the dark. I'm walking along. All of a sudden, I feel the cold steel muzzle of an 80-millimeter cannon in my back. You know, And he's like, unscrews the hatch, and he's like, you know, stick it up, man. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I am packing, you know, because I'm from Utah. And but I reach back there and I'm like, shit, regular bullets. Obama.
Yeah, you know, thanks a lot.
I've got no armor piercing bullets. So where can I go with that? I mean, you got kind of the premise there. What's going wrong? Sometimes the audience thinks it's funny.
Part about, you know, the tank sneaking up to you. You should have heard him coming.
Get very well oiled wheels, though.
Well oiled wheels on there. I don't know.
I guess
what
I
about
have a track,
the armor piercing part? I mean, this definitely isn't convenient.
It could be somebody in a suit of armor. It could be Black Knight.
Yeah, you could be like, there you go. It could be like a guy came up to me.
There you go.
You know, at the ATM.
I got mugged by the Black Knight.
Yeah. And I didn't have my armor-piercing bullets with me.
I was walking along, and all of a sudden, I felt a mace in my back.
Yeah.
I'm thinking armor bacon. Does armor still exist? Or am I showing my age?
Armor bacon.
Pig piercing. Armor pig piercing.
No, man, you got it. Armor exists.
Yes.
Armor exists. So you guys have helped me out all right.
There you go.
Especially, it's too bad there's a podcast, because I wish our listeners out there could have seen you guys' faces as I was telling this joke. You guys are the worst audience I've ever had.
This is like, is this thing on? Yeah. What's going on?
You should know by now, comedians are the worst audience for comedians.
Yes, they are.
They ran a show for 4 years where only comedians came to it, and it was awful.
It was, yeah, it was depressing and sad, but fun. It was fun.
For somebody.
Good time. You can get up there and just let it go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, on the armor side, too, you know, a companion joke that I've been working on that really hasn't gotten much traction is, my daughter got married. She had to move into a house that, like, none of us would live in this place, okay? I mean, they had no money, and they were in this terrible neighborhood, and my son was concerned for her, and so he gave her, and he bought this thing back in junior high for home protection. He gave her this double-edged battle axe. I'm not making this up, guys. A battle axe.
Nice.
A battle axe.
And is she strong enough to hold it?
You know, she's like 75 pounds wet, you know?
And
he gives her this battle axe. And, I'm just picturing the mugging going on in her house, you know? Out, knave, or you shall taste my steel, you know? Okay, let's check that one.
50% chance of cutting something.
What was that?
At least she has a 50% chance of cutting something.
Oh, yeah, either including herself.
Forward or back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you have a lot there. You have the battle axe. I kind of like Jamie's environmental friendly bullet with the green tip.
I'm going to use
little,
that.
Little room to play around in that.
I'm going
to
use that. Is this on record? I mean, do I have to credit him?
Don't have any domain over anything that we do here. You can steal my jokes. You can steal anybody's jokes on this table.
Well, come on, we've been talking about me. I'm ready to contribute.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, go.
Jeff, what do you got? What have you been working on?
Well, I am from Kentucky, and an Ark replica, Noah's Ark replica, is being built there. So I feel obligated to talk about Noah's Ark. And
I read about that. Isn't that to size? They're building it.
Yeah, they're building it to size using a crane, which
is come on, yeah, come
millions
on.
Of dollars.
In Kentucky. Oh, Noah had a crane. It is written. Noah had a crane.
So I've been reading the story about Noah and the flood, I think he would actually need a cruise ship, like a carnival cruise ship, to hold all of these animals. But I want to somehow tie in that. So God killed off everyone that was on land except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. And I'm wondering, if God killed off all the creatures off the land, what about the fish? So did the fish just have a field day, or did they get killed off as well? And then I kind of want to talk about how, since everybody else was killed off, we're all related to Noah, and we're the product of incest amongst Noah's grandchildren. And I'm not sure if people are going to find that funny or not. Number one, that we're all related. Number two, that we're the product of incest.
Well, that's going to huge in Provo.
Yeah. I think that if people believe in the story of Noah, then they believe in the story of Adam and Eve, and they already kind of come to grips with the incest part.
The incest part, yeah. I love the idea, though, of you actually, of them building the new Noah's Ark as a carnival cruise ship, and actually would do to entertain all the animals on a cruise ship, like...
And you'd have comedy
and the gophers
night.
Or gopher?
Yeah.
How do they keep the snakes from eating the gophers? How do they keep the... and I like this joke. So they have all these large cat animals, and how do they keep the cougars from eating the dick?
Say again.
How do they keep the cougars from eating the dick?
It's a dick joke.
D-I-K hyphen D-I-K. It's a small animal like a deer.
Yeah.
How do they keep the cougars from eating the dick? There's nothing vulgar about
that. I don't know who came up with the word dick. I mean, that in itself is fascinating.
Wikipedia, dick.
No, it had to have been some perverted stutter.
I don't think Wikipedia named it.
No, but you can find it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah. I like Jamie's idea of, like, like what it would have been like on there had it been a cruise ship.
Yeah, like
ship.
some lounge singer singing to like the animals, like, hey, giraffe, you all got a long neck, and just like trying to entertain all the different animals.
Jack and what's her name story going on, the Titanic story.
Yeah, you could have that.
The love between the
and have like it was like the unicorns or something.
Yeah, and the Poseidon, you know, when it turned upside down.
Could turn it into the Poseidon adventure.
Shelley Winters.
Well, and there was the cruise ship atmosphere, because buffets are huge on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Buffets are just huge on a cruise ship.
Shelley Winters.
Yeah. It was the Love Boat. That's what it was. It was the love boat.
It's a couple's cruise.
Yeah.
It was a couple's cruise.
People don't know that his last name was Steubing. It was Noah Steubing.
Yeah.
It was Noah Love Boat. It was a singles cruise.
It was. Perfect.
Oh, come on. Noah Love? Come on.
So I've got this. This is a joke that I've been working on. I ran it by Ben a second ago, and I think the premise is pretty funny. I just need to be able to word it right. So it talks about the Carl's Jr. jokes, you know, or the commercials where they have a hot chick on them, the commercial. She's eating a hamburger, right?
I love those commercials.
And I think the commercials are bad because they're so demeaning and, you know, they objectify...
Burgers?
Hamburgers. And I'm tired of them treating them like a piece of meat. Like, that's like,
there you go.
That's the whole joke. You got to my punchline before I got.
No, that's okay, because that's good.
But it needs to be like, I want to be able to kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the first time I went through and did it, it didn't work because it just wasn't structured. It's one of those jokes that requires proper structure, right?
Yeah.
The reveal has to be at the very end. I have to keep leading them on.
You can talk about when you watch them, you're sitting there like going, oh, God, look at those buns.
Oh, my God.
It's so objectifying.
So objectifying. The sauce running all over. Ow!
Yeah.
I'd like to put my pickle on that.
Yeah.
There you go. How dare they objectify meat that way?
Yeah, how dare they objectify meat? Or my wife comes in, she sees me watching the commercial, and she says, I can't believe they objectify a tree of hamburger like a piece of meat like that. Like,
look at that poor girl sitting up there, subservient to the meat.
Oh,
this is awful.
This is terrible.
This is awful. Who are these people? Who are these people? See? There you go.
No, but Ben, you talked about the Donald Trump joke. So Ben wants to contribute to the podcast. Every week,
but I don't
or
want
every
to do any work.
He doesn't want to write any jokes, so he just wants to come up with the most hack premises around. And we talked about Donald Trump, which is pretty hack to do about his hair, especially about his hair.
That's super hack.
Do you have any other hack jokes that we can talk about?
I was trying to come up with something to do with the terrorism acts in Paris, but.
Oh yeah, that's.
That's right for
picking. Yeah. Probably.
It's good time.
Probably
1 week from the day.
Are you saying it's too early?
Back at the old Laughs Ogden, we did a show on 9/12.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough because everybody in the room was walking on eggshells.
No, I bet.
I remember it quite well. It was, and you just wasn't, you were not sure what you could do.
Yeah.
What you could do. And, you know, the country was in such a great mood anyway. And I thought, are we really going to do this show?
Are we really
going to do it? And I did it with Scott Bennett. So any of you guys out there.
Yeah, I know Scott.
Who know Scott, good hell.
Yeah,
it was interesting. So I don't know, man. Maybe there's a good way to spin it. I can't think of it at this moment.
Yeah, I can't either.
It was
take
funny
some
for
more.
The moment on the podcast. So.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I think there could be a joke in there somehow. That how badly do you have to piss off France that they come after you and kick your ass?
Yeah,
that's what is it? The cheese eating surrender monkeys, the frogs.
You know, the army of baguettes.
Yes.
You know, they're just like clobbering everybody.
No, they're destroying everybody. So.
Well, you know, the interesting thing too was right after 9/11, France was our enemy. Remember, they didn't want to go to war with us. So everybody was saying we can't call them French fries. We got to call them freedom fries.
Oh, freedom!
Remember freedom fries?
I miss
freedom fries.
They taste a lot like French fries.
They tasted nothing.
But
they tasted nothing like French fries. They weren't they weren't fancy wine-eating fries. These were freedom fries. Yeah. They were made of taters. Taters.
Yeah. See, that's what's even funnier to me is the literalism that kind of cropped up in, especially American culture. It's like, for instance, that, where people were offended by the word French fries when it has nothing really to do with France.
No, at all.
Right.
The literalism of it is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and I wanted them to take it farther because it was they were their freedom fries, and then we were eating freedom dressing, and teenagers were freedom kissing. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like that part.
You know what I mean? So, guys, how can Jeff? How can people find you?
They can find me as Stephen Jeffrey Watson on Facebook, or they can go to eggfarmer.net. They can learn about my chicken farming and my egg farming. Eggfarmer.net.
Oh, we got to talk about chickens, by the way. I love chickens.
We can talk
about this later.
All right.
Craig, how about you? Chickens. How can people find you?
Any homeless shelter.
is that .com? Anyhomelessshelter.com?
No. Find me on Facebook. Craig Bielik, B-I-E-L-I-K.
Okay, any shows coming up besides this one we're doing
tonight? Lots. It's Christmas time, so a lot of corporate parties.
Okay, good.
You know, and then we'll see what happens after the first of the year.
Oh, awesome.
Going to Lava Hot Springs. Yes, that's right, folks, Lava Hot Springs.
Lava's
great. I hate
to
brag, guys. Sorry.
Love the lava. Ben, how about you? What do you got going?
I have nothing.
You got Channel 801.
Oh, we have Channel 801 in December. I don't know what date it is.
Yep. It might move.
It's the 10th, but it might move.
If you love...
short film showcase... of local independent filmmakers.
And it's a lot of fun. If you love local film, come out to that.
In January, we start a web series, Jamie and I, called Cult Classics versus Comedians, which will be stand-up comics talking about classic cult films.
Which is a lot of fun, too. And, of course, you can always find me on Twitter at jamie.maxfield, and then on Facebook, and then, you know, just we've got lots of shows coming up. So, hey, you guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you,
Jamie. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.